Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Let's go.
Let's go.
That's not the normal let's go. What's going on with you today?
Sorry. Just a little tired from our long day of work.
Have you been trudging through the day? Did you get it done?
Imagine a pond of maple syrup and imagine walking through it.
That was your day?
That was my day.
Wow. So yesterday, epic day, big day for you.
What was yesterday again?
Yesterday you hit the big 1,000 hours flying.
The big four digits.
Feel different?
I actually feel the same, but what I've been thinking about is on my paper logbook, I'm going to have to write those numbers quite a bit smaller now that there's four digits I need to fit in on the paper square on my logbook. You know what I mean?
I got that. But you felt the same? It wasn't like you feel like a real pilot now?
No, I feel like Cambry still, you know.
What
did it feel like when you hit 1,000?
It was the same.
It was just like, nothing. Oh, I'm still,
it was another day.
Mediocre
I'm still
pilot.
A mediocre, shitty pilot. So what do you do?
That's kind of where I'm at, too. It's like, grateful I got here, but
yeah,
it's like, okay.
It's not a big a deal as you think it is.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I think when you're at 100, 250 hours, 300 hours, 500 hours, you think it's going to be like some big like change?
No, like looking back, if I had texted my... If Cambry in 2023 got a text message from Cambry from 2025 saying we hit 1,000 hours, Cambry from 2023 would be a heck of a lot more excited than I am.
That's a great question. So, okay, so do you think the Cambry from 2023 would think the Cambry of 2025 would be at 1,000 hours? Like, that's a legitimate, like, for all the young pilots out there that are low time, like, I think that's a pretty good... That's a good question.
Would Cambry from 2023 think that I would have made it by 2025?
Yeah, at 1,000 hours.
You know, Cambry in 2023 was a
You were 18? 17, 18?
17. Depends on what part of 2023.
Still in school or just graduating?
I graduated 23.
Okay. So you were...
So I was still in school.
You're still in school.
I actually wasn't a private pilot yet.
Okay. So that was kind of a monumental thing if you look forward. Like 1,000 hours is a big step for a lot of pilots.
Yeah. I think that if I'm being quite frank with you, I don't think when I was working on my private pilot, I think it was still up in the air whether or not I was going to make it.
Well, I think we're all there. Like, I think we've all had that same question.
Once I pass my PPL, it's like, yeah, I'm committed now. You know what? Once I think I spent $1,000, it was like, yeah. I've invested enough that now this is my life story.
$1,000 was the entry fee to get in the door.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, now I'm committed.
But,
no career.
I mean, you know, that's a great thing. So that's 2 years at, okay, so 2023, you graduate. Let's say the end of summer 2023. Let's be fair. Kind of made it up to where we're at right now. So how many hours did you have end of summer 2023? Did you just work on your private?
I had 100 hours.
100 hours, end of
50.
100?
Yeah, so I was 10% there.
Yeah, you were.
Is that the math?
Well, a little under, but if you go out 150, if you're 100 to 150, yeah, that's somewhere right in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of flying. That's 900 hours in 2 years. Like, good for you, because that's...
Thanks, Shane.
That's really... I mean, think about that. That's 450 hours a year. That's...
Yeah.
You know...
And we've really packed it in the summer. I was averaging about 100 hours. Guess I am still, because it's not done yet.
Yeah, we're not... Well,
been flying.
Yeah, no, you have. But, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, when you're kind of thinking about how much you're flying and doing that. So that is a big thing. So... Yeah, everybody, it can be done. There's a lot of different ways. We talk about that, a lot of different ways to do that, but getting there. But no, congratulations to you. That is an awesome feat, I think. I can't wait for some of my kids to get there. People go through that. I see them get to the 1,500. I mean, your next big step is going to be 1,500. You'll probably do that, I would imagine, before the end of the year, awfully close.
Hopefully. Hopefully I'll be a better pilot.
Well, I mean, you'll be able to get your ATPs. If you can knock out all your ATPs, well, you're restricted. Enough. You'll be restricted. Oh, you have to wait till your birthday, which 21. Is in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some time.
So that's poopy. Well, you know, you inspired me today after your phone call. It's like, I want to work harder, but, you know, it's like the reality is I can't really work harder at making my birthday come sooner.
No, yeah, you're going to be stuck there, so. Okay, so, you know, something me and you had kind of talked about what we wanted to do here. You know, these first five are going to be kind of getting to know us, kind of getting a feel for what we're doing before we bring in guests and make complete morons of ourselves. But we had some awesome topics. And I think one of the topics we'll talk about today, if you're up for it, is kind of for people that are not in it, there's a romance about becoming a pilot, and then there's the reality of what that pilot's life looks like. Now, that doesn't matter if you are a, you know, guy working in Alaska, I think, flying a Super Cub. Right now is hunting season, right? So everybody wants to go to Alaska, or all these young guys are going to Alaska. They're getting stuck in Super Cubs and everything else, hauling hunters all around and hauling meat out and packing crap all around and really kind of doing a lot of stuff there. You know, kind of that. What are your takes? And then, you know, the airline life is the same thing. Like, we think when we look at like what an airline guy makes 10, 15, 20 years in, like, it's amazing money.
Better investment than a doctor.
It is a better investment than a doctor. You know, the reality is when you look at what they make, you get paid by the minute that you fly.
It's ridiculous.
You don't get paid. Well, yeah, but you don't get paid for any of the other stuff. So the romantic is like, oh, that pilot is one. You're like Tom Cruise in Top Gun with epaulets. So you're not as cool. If you had a flight suit on and you could be in the front of a airliner set 777, that'd be awesome.
Don't you feel cool when you wear your epaulets?
No, I hate my epaulets.
Can we talk about how when we went to, where were we at when we picked up the customers? We arrived there too early. And we had to cruise around.
Oh yeah,
town
we
in
did
epaulets.
In our epaulets. Well,
I felt
we took
like
them
I
off.
Was in a Halloween costume.
No, for sure.
I
yeah,
like
running
an
around,
idiot.
Running around with epaulets on.
But
it's a
let
new
me tell
pilot
you, we'll
thing.
Talk about me 2023. If me 2023 heard that I was running around town in my epaulets, oh, I would have been off the wall excited.
Yeah.
And how? Then I actually happened. I wanted to crawl away
into a hole.
I wanted to crawl out of my skin. It was so embarrassing walking around in my epaulets.
Yeah, there's no cool place to walk around in your epaulets.
Except maybe an airport.
I've had to fly and drop somebody off and leave the airplane and hop directly on an airline, I pull my epaulets off so fast your head will spin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
I don't know. I mean, and there's guys out there that's their whole life, so they love it. But
if you love wearing
me.
Your epaulets, I love that for you. I wish yeah. I loved wearing my epaulets as much as you love wearing your epaulets.
Yeah, I don't. I don't.
But anyways.
So, yeah, we were in Montana.
Yeah.
We were in Montana picking up passengers. And, of course, when we have new passengers, we do put the monkey suit on, as I call it, and look the part. I don't shave my beard, but other than that, they get it. But yeah, I still get people that want to fly with me, even with the beard. I get people that we have customers.
You brush
that,
your hair?
Yeah, I brush my hair, clean shaven, ready to go. But I don't do, yeah, that's all right. Did you brush your hair today?
Oh.
I was going to say, it doesn't really look like it.
But when we fly customers, I brush my hair.
Okay, good, good, good.
But not our seaplane customers.
No, they just get you natural.
The unbrushed hair Cambry.
Natural Cambry.
Okay.
That's 16.
I think we're, everyone thinks I'm, literally, I had a girl ask me.
Today, 16. You had a girl cry yesterday when you took her for a flight.
I did, but it was happy tears.
I don't know if it started off as happy tears.
She was a little bit nervous.
She started... Yeah, it was upset tears. She was scared of heights, scared of airplanes. And
she
then
was
there was a 16-year-old girl was going to take her for a flight.
Yeah, usually people that are scared, when they find out I'm their pilot, then they're really scared.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
It's like, sorry.
That one guy.
And then there's, you know, you get the misogynistic. We're getting so off track here, but that's okay. Like, and then
I think
love,
it's our podcast.
That's true.
I don't know if we have to stay on any course. And if the people don't like it, then I mean, there's four people watching. And those four people, I'd like to say five people watching, one family member of mine and four of yours.
And my fans. So
they understand how far off track we get because
yeah,
we're
a little bit ADHD here.
Yeah,
but
we
no,
are.
Don't tell, we're not like ADHD like the FAA version. We're just like,
oh yeah, there goes your,
sorry.
There goes your
well,
medical.
I'm cooked now.
So,
not actually ADHD. It's just a figure of speech. Don't worry.
We're the shiny thing, people, for sure.
Sorry, I keep moving our table.
Yeah, that table just made a lot of noise.
So,
but, so yeah, I think that is spectacular. But we wanted to talk about
the real life of a pilot and the romanticized life of a pilot and the differences. I think that social media does a really good job at romanticizing our job.
For sure. No matter what you do, you have
I'm
changed.
Part of the problem.
Yeah, you have changed, I think, a generation of pilots, especially female pilots. It's unbelievable how many female pilots, since I hired you and you started flying here, have started following the company Instagram page and Facebook page, as well as coming up and getting their seaplane ratings.
Yeah.
You're probably, I think you're single-handedly responsible for 11 to 14 people this year for multi-engine sea ratings. That's pretty spectacular.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
But yeah, hopefully, no, I think, and hopefully they like it. I mean, you know, on Instagram, this is, and social media, this is really the case for everything, is it's like, everyone's going to post the best version of everything, right? I post the best version of everything.
You don't post oil in the Beaver spilling oil all over the front seat and having to wipe it up.
Guilty as charged. And I don't post cleaning the airplanes, scrubbing the leading edge of the beach with the scrubby brush.
You know, there was a show on TV. It was based out of Canada. What was it? It was the Buffalo Airways. I don't remember what the TV show was. Shout out to those guys. You guys were great. I loved watching that show. It only aired for a handful of seasons, but I will say I really liked it because, and this is not a knock on them because this is the industry and paying your dues. We talk about this all the time here, but really guys would go up there and be like super romantic about flying a DC-3. I've got time in a DC-3, went and did all my stuff. I love a DC-3 more than anything, okay? It is a cool, cool airplane. I will own one here someday, and we will do tours in that. Not necessarily on floats, but we will do tours in them. But I will say that, you know, pilots would go up there super gung-ho, super excited, and they would have to, like, haul freight, like, throw it on pallets, load it on forklifts. It was, like, raining and snowing, and they were, you know, freezing cold outside, heating up the engines. And, like, they had to pay their dues for a year or two or three doing that, and they were pilots to try to work up into the SIC, to the right seat of an airplane, and then into the left seat. So yeah, there's a lot. That was really the only one that you see. And like you say, the Instagram stuff, like, oh, look at me. Like, I'm, you know, sexy 24-year-old dude or chick, and I'm in the right seat of, you know, XYZ jet. But like, they didn't be like, well, I flew around in a crappy 172 for $1,000 teaching people how to do spins and stalls.
And getting my back broken from all the touch slamming goes.
Yeah, no, there was that. I mean, there's that side of it. There's also the side of, like, you get to travel all over, you know, especially if you're at a major airline, you get to travel all over. So that's super cool. Those same guys that travel all over, if you don't live by your domicile, and you've got to travel across the country, it could be a day of travel before you actually go to work.
Yeah, it sounds kind of poopy.
So you're sitting standby, you're walking through the airports, you're having to go through hubs, you're having to do all that stuff to be able to get on.
To commute across the country to go to work.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that.
Yeah, no, I know for sure. Also, I mean, the romantic, it's crazy. And I mean, it's so easy to be romantic about something when you don't do it, right?
Oh, for sure. I think
like,
anything
I
do.
See anything. Like, for example, I'm going to use Alaska as an example. I love Alaska. You know this. I go up to Alaska and fly float planes up there for funsies. But it's so magical. But I'm telling you, if I worked up in Alaska, it wouldn't be as magical.
No, for sure.
The magic subsides. And it's like when people see photos of me doing my job, it's like, I mean, people tell me, like, you have the best, I have the best job on earth, and people tell me that. But, like, when I see the Brooks Instagram before I came up and started working here, it's like, whoa, that is amazing. Like, there's not going to be a day where I don't want to fly. And then I go to the dock, it's like 7 flights in, I'm like, I do not want to fly in at number 8.
I think you had one of those the other day.
I did. I
think
like,
you
I
tapped out. You're
anymore.
Like, Shane, it's all you. I'm not doing this next one.
My brain is fried. But it's really easy to be romantic about something when you don't do it, because you don't think about the shitty stuff that you have to do that comes with the job. And I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm ungrateful for what I do, because I'm so grateful for my job and I love every minute of it. But it's just not the same feeling as when you see it online as when you do it. Fair?
No, I 1,000% agree. I mean, I think we get a little bit, how would I put this? I think we've got a little bit more enjoyment. You know, what we do, you have to be one, and everybody's heard me kind of say this before, and I say it at the dock constantly, like the washout rate for us and what we do at Brooks is super high, right? You'll get a guy that's a great pilot, okay, that could fly the wings off of the beech or the beaver or the citabria or whatever, that isn't a people person.
Yeah.
Right? And when you're dealing with that many people a day, I mean, we fly anywhere from 60 to 120 people a day. Okay, that's a lot of people on a little dock with a couple airplanes. So you got to be a people person. Like, you have to be able to put a smile on. It doesn't matter if you were, you know, had a fight with you know, somebody in that morning, or you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or, you know, your coffee wasn't hitting as hard as it should be, or your diet Salt Lake City super soda isn't kicking in yet. Sorry, that's a Cambry joke. She's going to get one tomorrow.
I'm that's so excited. The first
thing she's going to get. But, you know, so you got to be that.
And then you have to deal with you.
And you got to deal with me, you know. And that's a lot. I mean, just dealing with me, because I'm, you know, especially when you're at the dock. I mean, spend time. There's five or six of us at the dock that literally spend 10 to 12 hours a day, seven days a week for six or seven months. Yeah, we absolutely get sick of each other. You could tell when somebody's off in the corner, like, don't talk to me with their headphones on.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
They don't want to be messed with, but... You know, and then you've got to be able to be aware of everything on the water. Like, we talk about this constantly, or I talk about it all the time, and you've heard me say it.
Yeah.
Like the best of the best. Like, you are so distracted. It's like driving your car while, you know, texting somebody on your phone and weaving in and out of the traffic on the freeway. Like, you've got so much stuff going on, and you've got to be able to manage all of that and diversify your attention. So you got to fly the airplane. You got to be communicating on the radios and watching all that stuff. You've got to be smiling and talking to people and doing that stuff. And then you got to not hit any boats and watch your landing.
It's right? So intense. Then you have your passengers. Like the other day, I was coming into land, base to final. It's windy as all get out. I still don't have a runway picked out. There's a billion boats. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do here? Still, we are very task saturated, base to final. Winds all over the place. Okay, wonderful. And then I have my passenger ask me, so... is there a big drop-off here on the lake? And it's like, I have to think about it. I'm like, is there a big drop-off? I'm like, I can't do this right now. I don't even have a roadway picked out. I'm like, ask Shane. Yeah. But it's like, it's so much. And then you're giving the tour. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but you give the tour enough. You say it in your sleep. You don't even think about saying. Your mouth just moves and your brain just...
You know, it's funny because we were talking about it earlier today. There's a geo-referencing program out there that just when you get in a certain spot, GPS notices and then it starts a recording of that area. Like, I think my brain has that programmed in. I'm like, I don't need the AI or IA integration into my brain. Like, it's already there because I'll get to a certain spot and, like you say, I won't even know what I'm saying. And oftentimes I'll think back and be like, did I just say that? Because that's actually two spots up from where I'm at, not right here. Because I'm just flying along going on cruise control.
Yeah. You don't even think about what you say before you say it on these tours.
You'll joke about it. And like I said earlier, like, give it a couple months and you'll think you have forgotten the tour. And then like something will fire off and you'll just be like driving down the road and be like, off to the right is Camp Cross. Camp Cross was bought in 1904 by blah, blah, blah.
By the Episcopal Church for $10.
Yeah, it's just, you'll just automatically go on cruise control like that. And it's like, oh, I've still got it. It's still in there. It's like, okay, you start firing on all the cylinders again.
It's
on that.
Insane. It's like, yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, no, it's just, it's a lot. It takes it out of you at the end of the day, really. You're like, okay, my brain is not functioning right now. I'm like, I can't even think about what I want to eat for dinner. Sometimes I'm like, I can't do this. Sometimes
yeah, when you I'll do it. And when you're home. Doing it, the nice thing about doing something that you love and you enjoy is you don't get typically burnout throughout the day. You don't notice it. But then it's like, once you decompress and like turn everything off and like put all the chairs away and tidy up the airplanes and tie everything down, then it's like you kind of decompress and you're coming off of that, you know, all day. And it's I could go to sleep right now.
Yeah. Well, the hardest days at the dock are when we'll have like a 9, a 10, 11, or 12. And then we have a 3 or 4 hour break. And then we have a 5. It's like, I don't want to fly the 5. I'm so ready for bed. I could take a nap right now.
Yeah.
Because you've decompressed.
That's kind of the big thing. And I think you get that in anything if you have that slowdown there. Yeah. So, you know, seaplane flying, same thing. You can get romantic about that, but you still got to wash the windshields. You still got to clean the floats. You got to pump the floats. You got to dump oil in. You got to do all of the stuff.
When I first got to the dock, I was so excited. You knew I'd get to the dock so early, pump all the floats. You got mad at me, actually, for pumping the floats.
Yeah, you were doing the deckhand's job.
To do the deckhand's job. And now, if there's not a deckhand there and I have to pump the floats, it's like, I'd rather, not...
jump into the lake.
Yeah,
it's rather freezing.
Go swimming right now in my clothes than pump the floats.
No, it is. The little things you don't think about. But I think it's the same thing in anything. So, yeah, you know, out there... And figure out if you're going the aviation journey, or if you're just from the outside looking in and you're not in aviation, like it's whatever you do, like find something you love and it's going to be way better. Not that you're going to.
Yeah.
I don't buy into the, do something you love and you're never going to work a day in your life. You say that all the time.
I say that because
there's days that you're working your ass off.
Yeah, that's true.
You can say whatever. Like, I don't work a day in my life. Like, how come you didn't want to do the clean the windshield and you took off with 1,000 bugs on your splattered across your window? I think you're working today a little bit.
Yeah, but it's like, you ask me if I'd rather fly my seaplanes.
Or sit in a cubicle.
Oh, I'm flying my seaplanes. Not that they're my seaplanes, they're actually yours. But still, it's like, I'm flying a seaplane.
Yeah.
Because that is not work compared to sitting at a desk all day.
No,
I would not do anything else.
I do get that. So, there's work in any type of flying you do. It could be seaplanes. It could be backcountry stuff. It could be cargo. It could be pipeline patrol. It could be spraying for mosquitoes. It can be flying skydivers. I think you've done a flight or two of that. Didn't you have a friend that flew skydivers?
Yeah.
You've done some of that. It could be, working for the airlines. It could be, going around the world. And there's still parts of that is actually work. So, kind of always remember that. Don't get down when it's not. I get so many people that come to me is like, all I want to do is fly seaplanes.
That's great.
But the reality is go to the airlines and make a bunch of money so then you can fly seaplanes on the off time. The seaplanes are not going to pay you what most people want
to
keep up with the habit.
No one tells you how much they make. I promise you these niche jobs that look like the most fun, and they probably are the most fun, they do not pay the bills very well. Like, no one's going to tell you how much they make. I'm not going to name names or anything, but there's a seaplane operator out of the East Coast. They hire allegedly pretty low time. Now, I don't know if they actually hire low time, but according to the requirements to get hired, they do. They pay like poop. Like, literally, you're making... I've talked to someone that's worked for one of those. And they said that they knew people who were literally on food stamps and were eating bags of chips for lunch because they couldn't afford anything else. Like, you have to sacrifice some things if that's what you want to do full time. Like, you're not going to get to live the luxurious.
It's hard. I mean, there's probably some places around that's not necessarily seasonal. Even all the guys in Alaska, that's fairly seasonal when you think about what they're doing and their stuff. There's guys that fly year round, but typically they're in... moving up to the Cessnas or, the Beach 1900s or that type of thing in and around Alaska and kind of doing that. So you're not seeing too much of that. But yeah, it is. It's not. You make a bunch of money in a short period of time, but when you average that out over the year.
It's not
a lot of great money. And then there's places that you don't make very much money at all. So, I mean, you're doing it because of the passion and being able to go and do it. And on the other side, we joke about it all the time too, like, the investment in somebody like you coming to Brooks this year, and the investment we put into you is tens of thousands of dollars between training, hours, taking up seats, and kind of all those types of things that a lot of people don't realize. And I mean, if you bail on me this season, at the end of this season, like that's a hit to the company. So it's pretty hard to do that even as an operator when you go up and you're working for doing tours around for one of the cruise lines or one of the places in Alaska. I always go to Alaska because I think there's the biggest group of people up there that are doing what they love and kind of going from there. But yeah, that's what I would say on that is the romantic side of it is there's crappy areas of all of flying, just like there is with any other job. flying as a whole, I think, is pretty relaxing. I think flying as a whole is super fun. Typically, when you get out of the airplane, you know, I mean, the one thing we could always say, and I always tell people, the one nice thing about aviation is it never comes home with you.
Yeah, it's so nice.
If you land the airplane and your passengers all get off and the airplane's still in one piece, like, work isn't coming home with you. That's not too many jobs out there you could say that. Now, if you land in the Hudson, work probably comes home with you for a few weeks or, you know, something like that. But for the most part, it really doesn't. So that is the one neat thing about aviation. No matter what you do, at the end of the day, when you are walking down the dock, like, smell you later, I'm done.
Yeah, but every morning I wake up, there's not been a single day this year where I've been like, I don't want to go to work. I want to go to work every day. I'm super excited to go to work every day. And not a lot of people can say that about their job.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Well, I think that's a pretty intense write-up, I think, communication on that flying career and the romantics. Yeah, get romantic about it, but you got to be honest with the people around you.
Yeah.
Don't BS young pilots. If I got to say anything to pilots that have been out there forever, like, don't BS them. So many pilots out there BS them on what to expect.
Do I do that?
No, I think you're pretty good. But it's the guy at the airlines. I make $480,000 a year, and I fly 4 days a month, and I've always made this. Like, no, you haven't. Like, tell them about the 13 years that you had to, you know, hump cargo because you were in a downturn, you know, 35 years ago, and you got laid off from two different, you know, major airlines as they went bankrupt or got bought out and kind of furloughed. I mean, it's, you guys do that, but don't get caught up into that. I mean, it, like I said, most aviation people are awesome, but you'll get a couple of the guys out there that want to kind of feed you the line of BS. Don't let them do that. So
what do you think aviation is going to look like in 30 years? Do you think that everyone's still going to be making $480,000 a year and working 4 days a month?
Right into the controversial one talking to me. I can't believe you asked me that. I'm the wrong person to ask this because
why, Shane? Tell everybody why.
I think,
tell them your controversial take.
I think it's going, and I've got a retired airline guy that works for me that his son works for the airlines, and we banter back and forth over this. I know me and you, I don't really, I know me and you have talked about it. I don't
like your take on the tour business, what the seaplanes are going to be.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, but my take is this, okay? With the day and age that we're in today, okay, and the automation that is already out there and coming our way, and the retirement, the people retiring, and the not as many, it seems like there's so many people getting their pilot's license, and there are so many people getting their pilot's license, don't get me wrong. But that being said, we're still going to run into this pickle. I think 10 years from now, we're not going to have enough pilots to be able to maintain everything that's kind of going on and doing all that stuff. So my take is this. I think because of retirements and because of automation, I think in a decade, and this isn't something I say lightly because I'm at an age that I want a human being flying my airplane, especially when I'm getting on an airliner going across country, okay? But my take is that in 10 years, we're going to see the introduction of single pilot crews on an airplane. I think we'll have automation doing it. The human factor will be there for emergencies, backup to double check it.
Yeah. Wait, how many years away?
I think a decade.
10 years.
10 years.
And then what about in 20?
I think in 20 years, we are phasing out a lot of people.
We're being remote pilots.
I think we're remote pilots. I think you've got one pilot sitting in a box somewhere in the desert and running four or five different airplanes monitoring systems. I think that's what happens. And then I think, and I know, I mean, everybody's, trust me, I don't need the comments. I mean, you send the comments. That's fine. It's better. It makes us get better. But for all the airline guys out there that disagree, and hopefully you're right. I don't want to say that, you know, but this is just what I'm feeling. Like, we go to Vegas a lot. Okay. We've got customers that we fly in the King Air to Vegas. They've got the Waymo or whatever it is, cars driving around, unmanned cars that are doing the Uber things all around already. They're there. Like,
yeah, they can't drive worth a shit though.
Well, sometimes they get stopped because they want to get into the left lane, and you can't get into the left lane. We've seen that. But, I mean, it's going to get better, and it's going to be there, right? I mean, the automation is here. Like it or not, you could look at how Elon Musk says it or whatever. There's a 80% that it doesn't, per chance that it doesn't destroy the human race. There's a 20% chance that it does. Those aren't very good odds in my eyes. But, you know, I don't want to hear 20%. But I think that's what happens. I think corporate and the cost of pilots and training and everything else, I think we get in there and automation is doing. I mean, right now we've already got you know, we've got jets being sold brand new that's got auto land function, like push the blue button. This thing will take me to the nearest airport that we can land on, and then it will land. And it's going to call all the emergency services for it. So to say that's not going to move into the cockpit, I just don't see how it's going to happen. So I think somebody your age, somebody my kid's age, I think getting into aviation is still a phenomenal career. I think towards the end of your careers that the pilot in the cockpit is going to be phased out. But
they're
I think
if they want to do that, I think they're going to have to get rid of GA.
Well, I think GA, and there you go. So, I mean, there I can touch on that. I mean, look at
the... I hate this take. Well, tell them about the flying car.
Well, we're going to have... I mean, the drone technology is already there.
Yeah.
Okay? I went to NBAA last year. They had a you know, small Uber-sized drone that was going to be able to take four people. I think they did some testing on it. I'll be back at NBAA. You'll be actually going with me.
Yeah.
Here in a couple weeks, so we'll kind of see where that technology's gone this year. But I mean, it's there. They're testing out these drones. They've got these drones that are, you know, super reliable, energy efficient, all of this stuff. I think that's the next phase of that. Do we get so Brooke Seaplane is 80 years old. This is our 80th anniversary this year. Okay. Do we get 100 years out of Brooke Seaplane?
Yes.
I don't think so.
There's no way they have that integrated in 20 years. Flying cars.
You don't think that Elon Musk comes out with a flying car in the next 20 years? He's got
I'm not
the,
saying that, but you know how
he's
long
got
it's
the, what is
take
the Model
for,
S?
Okay, let me ask you this. 20 years from now, my car is 10 years old. It's still fully functioning. I'm not planning on getting a new car for at least another 5. Hopefully sooner if I can start making enough money to get a new car. Whatever, my car's great. Cars from 20 years ago, 2005s, I still see 2005s driving around. There's no way that in 20 years from now, everybody's going to be able to afford to have a flying car. There's no way.
No, what's going to be the next thing? The next thing is if you're buying a gas-powered car now, the probability of you buying, this is a new car.
Well, this is a good example, is electric cars compared to gas cars. So when did the first electric, 10 years ago?
The first, like legitimate. Non-shitty
electric
car.
Yeah, like when did people, like a Tesla?
They're probably 10 years old.
What percentage of people are driving those? 5, maybe? 10, maybe 10?
Maybe.
Okay, that was 10 years ago.
10% market share in 10 years? You're the guy, okay? I'll tell you the guy that you are, but you're a girl. You're the girl, but this you couldn't be this back in the day, okay? Think about this. Henry Ford, early 1900s. There's a handful of guys and girls and companies out there making cars, right? Motorized carriages, okay? Henry Ford goes in and says, I'm going to assembly line this thing and be able to make a car for everybody out there, okay? You know how many people laughed at him? You know how many people bet? You're the guy laughing at him that's just bought 10,000 horses.
Yeah, you
could,
you.
Yeah, so you could sell because the motorized carriage isn't going to work.
Can we,
you're literally that guy. You've got a whole like ranch full of 15,000 horses.
Get audio guy, can you fact check what percent of drivers drive an electric vehicle? Because now I want 10% was way too high.
There's I think no it's way too high too.
It's got to be probably like 2 or 3%.
Okay, but
in that case, how many years would it take for it to be 100%? If we did 2% in 10 years, 50 years? Is my math right on that?
Audio guy.
Oh. In 2024, about 9.2% of new car registrations in the U.S. were for electric vehicles.
That is way higher
That's
than
That's a massive, massive number.
Holy cow, my guess was pretty close.
And now,
right?
And that was back when there was one manufacturer, two manufacturers, and they were like that super crappy. Amazing. They went like 40 miles. They didn't do anything. They were horrible.
So it took 10 years.
Now they've got the Model S Plaid that goes like 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds.
But that was in 2024.
Right, so it's
so
more
So it's probably
now.
10% now.
Yeah.
So in that, with that, Matt, we'll just say it's going to take, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. 10% in 10 years, that's a percent a year. It'll take 100 years to get 100% people.
That's not an exponential. That'll ramp up. Because they're going to stop making gas cars.
30 years to go all electric. Then it's going to take, I bet, another 50 to 60 years to go all flying cars.
Well, I hope. I think you're wrong.
Here's my question is they already have the airplanes that are auto landing, right? Like, there are already airplanes that, you know, can do that. And the first one, you know, the Lockheed L-1011, that came out. Let me look when that came out.
I like this conversation you're in, Logan.
It's not very often I come on and debate it, too. It was released in April 26, 1972.
Thank you. It takes so long for aviation to happen.
I'm going to say this. You could say the same thing about everything, right? But everything ramps up faster and faster and faster. Okay.
The FAA is so damn slow.
When I was your age, you didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have a computer.
But the aviation.
Now you're walking around with a cell phone and a computer in your pocket.
Yeah, but okay, but hear me out. Aviation is so slow.
Okay. Is Amazon and the big delivery services already working on drone systems that are delivering packages to homes?
Yes.
Okay, so that's already there. So the drone infrastructure is already there. People are already building the drones. It's going to take an Elon Musk or a company like that that's going to create some sort of flying drone, and it's going to reshape the FAA. The FAA as we know it today, going over to your local FISDO, this, that, and the other, is going to be reshaped, I think, in 10 to 15 years.
Do you think they'll still do ramp checks?
Talk about ramp checks. Yeah, I'll still be getting ramp checked. I get ramp checked more than anybody on the planet Earth. It's hilarious getting turned into the FAA for everything because people are envious of you and jealous of you. I've been ramp checked 5 times in the last 24 months. I don't know any, I couldn't tell you 5 people in aviation that I've ever come across that have been ramp checked.
And I've talked about this on our first episode.
Yeah, I'm still riled up about that. There's good and there's bad people in the FAA. Most of the people in the FAA are phenomenal. There are guys in the FAA that, just like any industry, that are turds. So I think that's going to change. I think Mosaic changed a lot of that. I think the drone technology and these companies are going to change it. And I think that's where I think it's going to be. I think in 20 years, we're going to be running around and they'll be, I shouldn't say this, we won't be running around in drone cars or taxis. I think there's going to be an option. Just like right now, you can go out, you want to buy a Tesla? Great. You want to go buy your Chevy, you know, with your Duramax in it? Great. Go do that. You want to buy a used Subaru Impreza with a, you know, broken door panel? Go do that.
Okay, huge shout out to my broken door panel. You guys, I dropped, this is so off aviation topic, but can I tell them about why my door panel is broken?
Sure.
I was waiting in line for my Taco Bell, and I was hovering my card above my window as it was rolled down. I was like, I wonder if this will go down if I drop it all the way into my door. Well, I let go of it. I don't think it was on purpose. I don't recall. I don't know why I would do that on purpose. But it did indeed go down the window into the door. And so we had to take my door apart to get my card out of the door. And it just didn't go back the way that it was. So anyways, I love my broken door panel. But circling back around to will we get 100 years after out of Brooks? Yes, we will. Because in 20 years, not everyone.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the airplanes that we're flying down there are in 20 years. It'll be interesting to see if we can make 20 years out of it. I think it'll be right there on the cusp. I think 10 years for sure, it's getting pretty close. I think technology's changing. I think the cockpits are going to be changing. I think right now my apprehension is, I always say this because they're like, well, what about the flying cars? I get a lot of parents coming and ask me, is this a good thing for my kid to get into? Like, what about, you know, automation? But my apprehension right now is big corporation dollar bills, okay? So you're on
remember Coke, putting sugar in it. And there were some accidents.
Well, no, I know what you're saying. Absolutely. Was that pilot training or was that incidents accidents? It could be chalked up to both.
Did you watch the documentary? There were some shortcuts made, for sure.
There were some shortcuts made. And hopefully they're figuring that out.
And it takes a long time to make things.
Well, absolutely, and you got to fix that. And that starts from the management down. So you got to start from the management, and you got to work your way down. But
that has to do with corporations trying to make big bucks. Not bucks.
Well, they might make big bucks, too, if they have the right meals in their thing. But no, so if you think about it, like, if an airplane's flying along, okay, I got to get on a commuter to go pick up a jet or whatever across the country, okay? You've been with me now. On the East Coast, what do we get in the afternoons, Midwest, this time of year?
Some awesome, gnarly, snarly, big boy thunderstorms.
That's right. Big boy and big girl. So you got to put your big boy panties on. And big girl panties on. So you're flying along. The computer runs a program, says, okay, it looks like this. It's right there, borderline. The wind's like 1 mile an hour under. It looks like that. So the computer's programmed. We can go through this. So they start punching through this thunderstorm. All of a sudden, it turns into something really shitty, and you're, you know, bending an airframe, and nobody's happy, and you don't get the drink service on the airplane. You gotta have the drink service. Nobody wants to do that with that. Especially if you're in the thunderstorm, you want the drink service.
We need to start doing the drink service on the seaplanes.
Doing that.
But anyways,
so if you do that, that's where I'm apprehensive. I want the pilot to be like, "No, we're gonna fly. We're gonna deviate 50 miles and go around this thing."
I mean, we've seen our active. We have radar in the airplane, and a lot of times what the radar is saying is not what we're seeing with our eyeballs.
Yeah, well, our radar's pretty good, but our FISB definitely shows what they're seeing on the ground can be late. There, that can be different from what we're seeing in our radar of actual stuff. No, there is definitely differences. So where does that number come from? Where do they look and find that? And that's the thing that scares me now. I think at a point in time, like self-checkout, electric cars, all this stuff, I think it's just going to become more the norm and we accept it.
I think by the time that we don't have pilots in the airplane and we have flying cars and the seaplane business isn't running anymore, AI is probably going to wipe out humanity by that time.
Well, probably is.
So it doesn't even matter.
So you're betting on the 20%?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm still thinking about the 80%, but no, skeptical. That's what I think is, I think that's my take on it. I think that's, I'm going to look forward to looking back at this in 10 years and seeing.
And telling you, making me say that you were right and I was wrong.
Or you might be the right one and I might be completely wrong.
Well, we won't even be around by then because AI would have already wiped us out. You Wait, 10 or 20 years?
I don't think AI is wiping us out like
I
that.
I think it's going to take a good 40 years.
I think for all the people, this is funny because I was listening to another podcast on the way over here, and they kind of like hit the nail on the head. And this is probably what's going to happen is like all of those drunk morons in Vegas that are screwing with the Waymo cars, right? Putting the cones up and blocking the camera so it can't drive. Those cars are going to learn and get smarter, and they're just going to, like, destroy those people that fucked with them. Like, that's what it's going to be, right? And literally, that's what they said on Joe Rogan. So, yeah, that's what it's going to be, is AI is going to screw with them that way. Be like, oh, you want to go from here to New York? We're going to go 2 miles an hour, and the doors are going to be locked. You can't get out.
Yeah, scary. So, yeah, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, well.
But we'll see about that. Only time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I know with the changes that are coming and the technology there, it's going to be.
Yeah. What else was it that we wanted to talk about today? What was number three?
Our third thing was we went over and we did a couple different things. We talked about fatigue, but I think that's another one for another episode there on that. I want to brush on. If anybody's made it this far in this crazy hellhole podcast that you guys are listening to here, and you guys are still doing check rides, okay?
Oh,
you're still in the check ride prep, okay? We had a young man today and yesterday.
He's awesome. He's a great pilot.
Great pilot. Did a couple check rides in 1 week. Okay. So shout out to him for doing that. He stepped up to the plate. He came to us from across the country. We get a lot of people from all over the country coming to us because we have a mediocre program and we have DP. Okay. But he did a couple bonehead moves, right? Think about what you're doing in those damn check rides.
Can you it's just like another old flight, you guys. I promise you. Oh my gosh, I had a student fellow check ride one time. It was so rough. Never had he missed a short field landing once in our whole entire training. It was amazing. He was a short field landing prodigy. Always hit the 1,000-footers. Like, within commercial standards, he was a private pilot. It was amazing. It was literally, I told everybody about him. This guy's amazing at short field landings.
You jinxed him.
I did. And I sent him on a mock check ride, and he missed his spot on his mock check ride. But the instructor told him, remember, you can go around on a short field landing. You don't have to put it down. Don't forget that, you guys. You can always go around, unless you're doing a power off 180. But in this case, it wasn't. Well, he forgot that he could go around on his check ride. And he failed his check ride on a short field landing because he landed long.
Yeah, that happens.
So
that's a big problem.
That was rough. Think before you do.
Yeah, the other thing that I would say is pretty important is checklists. I'm not a checklist guy. I am a memory type of guy, a flows type of guy, and then back it up with a checklist.
Yeah.
But if your flows aren't there, so we had a young gentleman bust on a seaplane ride today, and we have almost the same, I can almost guarantee what you're going to fail on a seaplane ride. Seldom is it your spot landings, your rough water takeoff, your rough water landing, your confined space. It's never those things. It's two things, typically.
Can I say it?
I'm going to say 90% of the time. Say it.
Flaps. Water rudders. And every now and again, how long have you owned the company?
Quite a while. You get a what?
Once every while, we have someone fell for docking.
Once every while, yeah. Not very often do we get docked. Docking's pretty hard to booger up. But, like, flaps and water rudders? Oh, my goodness. Like, that is something you do every single takeoff and every single landing. So to forget it is insane. Like,
there's just not really a great excuse.
There's not, other than it's just a bonehead move.
Right. jitters.
Yeah, check ride jitters, fail. Occasionally, you know what the third one is, I would say? Not being so in your head, like landing crosswind or landing downwind
Not landing into the wind and turned around.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I had a 20-knot tailwind. Like you're going 200 miles an hour across the ground.
I feel pretty fast. That's weird. Why am I so fast right now?
Why am I skipping across the water?
Yeah, no, I think on check rides it's important to decompress. Also, I always tell people this, and this is what I do. This is my pre-check ride ritual. Done with check rides for a while, but my pre-check ride ritual, I do this every check ride, except for my multi-C, which that's fine. But most of my check rides the day before my check ride, I don't look at anything aviation. I take a day for myself. If you're cramming before your check ride, then you're probably not ready for your check ride. If you cram before your check ride, you're going to realize what you don't know. And then you're going to be in your head on your check ride because you're like, there's so much I don't know. And I'm cooked.
The other thing that drives me insane, I'll say this, on check rides, and a lot of CFIs will have them do that too, is come in 2 hours before your check ride and let's go beat up the pattern.
Yeah.
Like, if you may, listen, I'll say it this way. Every landing isn't going to be a perfect landing when you get your private pilot's license. Like 1 out of 10 are going to be like within standard. 9 out of 10 of them are going to be close or mediocre.
I disagree with that.
I'll argue that point constantly. I would have loved to have seen your 10 landings after you got your private pilot's rating.
No, like on my check ride, like all of them were in standard on my check ride.
No, exactly. But after you got your PPL.
Oh, sure.
Tell me about the next 10 landings.
No, you're
were
right.
Like,
no, I agree
you were
with
like,
that.
Oh, I'm going to hit the 1,000 footers or whatever you aim
yeah,
for. And
I
you're
agree
not.
With that.
So to go and pound the pattern that morning before your flight, if they all are going perfect, you have a good possibility that it's going to work out for you. But if you have a couple boogered up landings, it's going to get in your head and
oh
you're
my gosh.
Fucked.
I have a sob story. I flew a student to a check ride. He wasn't my student, but I flew up with him because I needed the time, he needed the time, whatever. I was like, yeah, I'll go with you. We flew up there to the check ride together. I'm like, you do the flying, I'm just with you. And he had the worst landing of his probably life. I had to take the controls right before his check ride. 30 minutes before his check ride. The poor kid ended up failing his oral. I'm like, what was going on? He was so in his head before he went into his check ride because of his bad landing.
Yeah.
And I think he would have been fine. I probably should have just done that landing.
Yeah.
So he didn't, you know, hindsight 20/20. But it's like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
So
now, if it would have been a greaser,
he would have been great. He probably would have passed his oral and his practical.
Like I said, first handful of, you know, you're not going to be getting them all the time. I mean, I still have mediocre landings. We talk about it all the time. We judge our, you know, when you're flying with a pilot, like, you have the worst landings of your life.
It's so bad. My best landings have been with people who have no idea what
Didn't you say you had the best landing of your life
yesterday? Yep. It was the best landing. I didn't even
was that
know
your
we were thousandth on the water.
Hour flight?
No, that was like 1,001. Wait, yesterday? No, I hit 1,000 yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Yesterday.
The day is all blurred.
Or no, it was
that
the day
felt
before.
Like 4 days ago.
I think it was the day before.
But yeah, no, it was the best landing of my life. I didn't even know we were on the water and I was the pilot. That's how good it was.
I've done that a couple times. That actually is funny when you do that. I do enjoy a good, smooth water landing.
But yeah, no, just think before your check ride. And it's just another, don't think the DPE is just some like robot. They're human too. They're not there to trick you.
Some of them are.
Really?
I've met them.
Don't do your check ride with the people that are there to trick you.
Well, not trick you. They're just, listen, in any industry, there is turds. Okay? There are turds. There's phenomenal people too, but there are turds out there. Not that they should ruin it for everybody, but trust me, there are DPE turds.
Yeah, no, I trust me. There is a famous DPE who's no longer a DPE actually, but I can't name drop, but I'll tell you what they called him after the check ride or after this podcast. It's actually hilarious.
You can't even tell me what they called him after?
No, I'll tell you what they called him when we're done filming because I don't want a name drop.
Yeah, but it's not what, I mean, his nickname.
But it includes his real name in it.
I see what you're
but
saying.
But the name included two time because everybody that did their check ride with him failed. So everyone did their check ride two times.
I mean, that's good. I will say one of my DPEs that does a lot of our students, somebody had gotten upset because he had busted them on a check ride. And I guess there's a website out there that you can like leave like,
reviews on DPEs.
Reviews for DPEs. And it was like the most scathing, like crappy, like, do not ever fly with this guy. He's the biggest a-hole ever. And this guy is legitimately a super fair, legit DPE.
He's so down to earth.
And it was, I mean, he got a chuckle out of it. I mean, because he's a very good pilot, lots and lots of ratings. He holds you to a standard. You know, you got to be able to do the basics. That's it. And you're going to have an off day. But yeah, it was just ranting and raving about him. Don't ever go to him. He's the worst ever. But then legitimately, like, we had a young lady that came and did her seaplane rating with us recently that was paranoid about our DPE for our seaplanes.
Because she legitimately had a bad experience.
She had a bad experience, and yeah, I think there was some horse malarkey there going on, something shady in the backside, which I didn't really know. I mean, I got into a little bit with her, but I mean, she had posted all over social media, she'd looked
she
around,
really,
and it was funny because all of the women's, like, group things that she posted on, you're part of,
yeah, so
and you're,
I,
like, can I say it or not?
I anonymously comment on all of them, like, he's amazing, because he really is. I did my check ride with him, he's a great DE.
He's fair, I mean, you're
so gonna... I was like, I don't want them to think that I'm, like, being biased, because I work for the company, but, like, he actually is a really fair DPE, so I just commented.
And he's not going to fail you because you're a girl.
No, he's not going to fail
you. I mean, he's going to fail you because you suck.
Yeah, but not because you're a girl.
That particular thing, yeah. No, women are better. Better pilots historically about, I think across the board, women are more attention detail than most men. Not all men, but most men.
I think you're just born the way you are.
I think you are born the way you are. I don't think you can change that. I don't know if you can, but let me know if you've got a main line to the boss man upstairs. Be like, I don't want to be this way. I want to be that way.
I think you can change for the better or the worse, but I think the fundamentals of what the heck is going on.
That is an air pop-off.
I'm sorry, that actually scared
location.
Me.
I like the jump that you had there. Everybody, that we're going to leave that one in there.
Lost my train of thought now. But I think that the fundamentals of your personality and your skills kind of, that's just the way you are.
Yeah, well, I think your skills can get better. I mean, I've seen pilots get phenomenally better.
Some
I didn't think we're going to make
poopy.
It. And now they're just great. But you've got some people out there. I got a really good friend that grew up in aviation, grew up flying everywhere. Probably one of the most natural pilots I've ever flown with. You know, he's kind of a third generation guy. And it's in his DNA. I think so. I think he's flown so much that he's just got this thing about him. Can't throw it and don't get you all riled up and just go and make it happen.
Do the thing to make the plane fly.
But I think that was a lot of how he was taught too.
Yeah.
He tells a story. His grandfather used to sit in the seat or in the back seat with a newspaper in his face and then be like, don't you think you should fix that? And so, you know, the airplane would be on fire upside down rolling. Be like, oh, yeah, we should fix that.
I think your first in flight instructor has a lot to do with how you turn out as a pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
I think your first experiences.
Yeah.
In flying. I think that's kind of a big thing on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. But I mean, your dad is, not was, he's a private pilot and a...
And he's a commercial glider pilot's
instructor.
RCFI.
I
he's
so badly want to go get a flight with him. I want to get my glider license someday.
You should go get your glider license with my dad.
No, I want to. That would be...
He's an amazing pilot. I'm telling you, glider pilots are such good pilots. You're talking about not being able to make a power off 180. You better be able to make a power off 180 in a glider because you don't have an engine. It's always a power off 180 because you're always power off.
That's true, yeah.
The ultimate energy management. Kings and queens.
Are there a lot of female glider pilots?
I actually have only met one or two.
Really?
In my whole career of hanging out at the airport with my dad. Not very many female. It's kind of like a good old boys club, a lot like seaplanes. I mean, you use that term good
I do, yes, yeah, absolutely, club. Yeah. And that's, I could see that. But no, gliders.
And it really literally is a good old boys club. Most glider
are
pilots
are
old. I wouldn't hang out with my dad growing up at the airport. Most glider pilots are like, my dad was the youngest. When I'd go to the airport with him, it's like, there's my dad, and then there's, like, retired
his
airline
dad?
Pilots. Yeah.
Interesting.
But, like, I think it's changing a little bit. You're seeing more, like, Civil Air Patrol does a lot of stuff with gliders, which is good.
Really? What are they doing with gliders?
Well, you can solo a glider when you're, what is it,
14? I think you get your license when you're 16. 14.
No, I think it's solo when you're 15, license when you're 16. I don't know. I don't know those regs, because...
I think it's solo when you're 14. I'm almost positive with that.
I don't know. Who knows? Fact check us, Logan.
Oh, you dropped his name.
Logan Rogers at the Rogers Boy, B-O-I,
he's
on Instagram.
Single, ready to mingle. That's never going to get old. It's did you get any hits from the last one?
No, not yet.
Okay, I think it's
any
coming.
Any day now.
Any day it's going to come. They're going to be into you.
Minimum age of 14.
To solo?
To solo.
So license at 15 then, probably.
Yeah. Let me look.
I should know this.
Yeah.
I'm not a glider.
Maybe we could phone your friend, your dad.
Yeah.
And he could be disappointed that we're promoting gliders and his daughter can't even like talk up gliders.
But I think that Civil Air Patrol does a lot with them because, I mean, those Civil Air Patrol kids, they're so awesome. They're so young when they get into it.
What were your guys' answers?
I said 16 to 15. Get a license.
Camry's right.
Oh, Steve. Eat it.
14 to solo and 2 years you got to be gliding around the world.
We were each halfway right.
Yeah.
But
crashing into the greater Salt Lake.
Yeah, I think gliders are great. I think I want to do it. I think that'd make me a better pilot. I think it makes everyone a better pilot.
I think gliders are probably right up there with tailwheel and seaplane stuff on better understanding what the airplane's doing and how it's going to move in the air. With that, yeah, I think for sure glider pilots do that.
My dad said the best powered pilots you've flown with are glider pilots.
Really?
Yeah, because you just have those. You know how to fly the airplane and energy management.
That's too bad. I would have rated you with one of the better pilots I've ever flown with, but not your dad.
You haven't flown with my dad. No, but my dad won't do that.
You're mediocre.
No one says I'm a good pilot.
You're not a glider pilot. He says the best. I mean, you're good.
Some of the best pilots he's ever flown with.
Oh, now you're throwing in. Is that just like a dad help me out? Throw me a bone here.
Yeah, no, I think glider flying makes you. I wish And it's so much more affordable than powered planes because you pay for your tow and then you're set. $80 for a tow and then
how much is a glider plane?
As long as you want. Well, that's not what I'm saying.
50, 60 grand? Well, I mean, I guess you can hardly buy a 150 nowadays for 50, 60 grand.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I saw a 150 for sale for $80,000 today with 2,000 hours on the engine. I was like, that is crazy, actually.
Yeah, that's insane. That's kind of, I don't know. It's getting out of hand on some of that. So, but I think it's going to come down. We'll see it.
Planes are not selling as well as they did. Personally, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, I would agree, depending on what you're looking at. PBYs are still expensive. I looked at them today.
I'm so excited to go fly my PBY. So not my PBY, I'm going and flying it.
You're going to go fly it.
I should give them a shout-out, because this is a really cool opportunity. Soaring by the Sea Foundation, they have a lot of cool aircraft. They're out of Eugene, Oregon. Look them up, you guys. They have a really cool thing going on. So I'm going to go fly the PBY with them from Spanish Fork. There's an air show in Spanish Fork, which by the time we post this... No!
This will go up next week.
No, wait, it'll no, we're gonna put this up tomorrow.
Well, this is going up tomorrow.
Yeah, so everyone...
Anybody in town, go and check out and meet Cambry. She'll be at the...
I'm going to the Wings... Will's Wings... Wings and Wills? Wings, Wills and Wings. Wings and Wills. It's in Spanish Fork on Sunday.
Can you say it's probably the... You'll get to see the Pateys. Can we give a shout out to those guys?
Yeah, shout out.
Is it their airport yet?
Well,
I mean,
I
why
know.
Do we
it's
call it the Spanish Fork
because that's where
airport?
It's
it should be called the Patey Airport. I think they I built this the huge development there. They're building best tugs there. They're building cool airplanes there. They're doing it all. But you're going to be there. People can come by. Can they get your autograph? Are you willing to sign stuff?
Sure.
Are you going to have a Sharpie with you?
Sure.
Okay, everybody. So you can go to Spanish Fork Airport. They're probably going to have food there.
Probably.
You can go check out a cool PBY. I'm sure there's going to be some amazing airplanes there. Actually, I'm envious of in a couple different things.
And cars.
One, I don't want to give any shout out to, who was it again? Wings?
Wings and Wheels, I
Wings.
Believe.
No. The PBY owners.
Soaring by the Sea Foundation.
Soaring by the Sea Foundation. I don't want to give a shout out to them, but I just said them. Hey, I'm not going to get a PBY time in it. You're going to get a PBY.
Still give them a shout out. That's rude.
All right. No, it is awesome. Actually, they've got looking at it, they've got a beautiful airplane. I am super envious of Cambry here of being able to go do that, but I would highly recommend you guys go check that out. I'm excited for you to get back and us to do a podcast. We'll probably burn up a whole podcast just talking
about that.
Oh,
yeah.
I've given her... Okay, if anybody from the foundation is listening, I understand you're going to go and you're going to fly this, okay? You're going to have about 5 hours in the airplane. You're going to promote them and help promote them because they're an awesome deal and they want to promote themselves and keep these airplanes flying, which is very important to, I think, both of us, dear and dear to our hearts, of keeping these old airplanes in the air and flying, especially seaplanes. But you got to demand SIC rating. Okay, somebody from the foundation, I'm talking to you. Like, she needs to leave Eugene, Oregon with a sign-off for 710 for SIC rating in a PBY. But no, I'm super envious. I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome experience for you. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for so many people.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
I would love just to sit in the back in one of the bubble windows with my head stuck out the side of the airplane just for that. And I'm always a control freak. Like, I got to be in the front controlling it. But a PBY is one of those things. So that'll be super fun. I'm sure you'll have an amazing time there. I'm sure that's an amazing group of people keeping those airplanes flying that are super passionate about. So, but yeah, stop by see Cambry there in Utah. She's going to go. She is from Salt Lake City. So I've been hearing for all of us here, are the Rogers boy, me, everybody at the dock has been hearing about these sodas that I guess they have in Salt Lake City. It's some sort of, you're not a big coffee drinkers there.
No. But
you guys like these, I guess they're soda
dirty
shops.
Dirty sodas.
Dirty sodas. So it's like Dr. Pepper diet with like cream.
With like cream and flavors, and it's so good. I'm so excited.
So she's going to go and drink five or six of those. I think she's given her mom and dad an itinerary of like, pick me up, we're going here, here, and here. Of all the things she can't get in Coeur d'Alene, but she can get in Salt Lake.
That's basically what's going to happen.
Go check her out. I think that'll be super fun. I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing program. I know a lot of the people that are putting on that air show, they've got some really cool airplanes. So I'm sure you'll see all kinds of new technology. You'll probably see some of the latest and greatest Best Tug stuff out there. So go check those guys out. Check out Cambry. She'll be there all day. Are you gonna be there all day Saturday?
It's on Sunday. So I'll be there at some point. I'll post it on my Instagram when I'll be there.
Yeah.
At flying.foster on the gram, Instagram.
Flying.foster there. Yeah, we'll be watching from afar. I'll be watching your Instagram there, trying to hopefully you do some updates throughout the day. That'll be super neat. And then you're flying Monday?
Yep.
Monday headed back. You're headed to Eugene, Oregon, back to its home base, right? That's where they keep it.
Wait, one second.
I think it's Saturday is the air show, and I think Sunday is when you fly.
Right. I fly out the 20th. Wait, I'm actually might be stupid.
If the shoe fits.
When is this?
I think it's tomorrow.
It's
or wait. I'm sorry, it's Saturday. I think the air show.
It is on Saturday, not Sunday. Well, I'm stupid. I live the same day every day. I don't know what day it is.
It's Groundhog Day. So Saturday, there's going to be a Wings
Saturday,
and Wheels
Sunday
at Spanish Fork Airport. Everybody will show up Sunday.
I just live by the number of the day. I knew it was on the 27th, and I knew that I fly out on the 26th, and I know I fly the PBY back on the 28th.
So Sunday, you're flying back. So you'll do that, and that's where they keep it in Eugene.
Yep.
So do they have? They must have a museum. They've got probably some other airplanes there that they keep flying. So super cool on them. I am envious of that, but that's awesome, awesome experience and seaplane time, and good for you because you are a phenomenal pilot, so that'll be awesome. So go check those guys out. Hopefully someday in the future, if we can get 15 or 20 people to watch this podcast, we'll go ahead and get something to where we can go on site and meet some of you guys here on some of these locations and be able to do it on location and talk to some of those people there. But that's down the road if this thing ever gets any traction.
It is gonna.
I will say this one last thing that we're getting out. I gave Cambry the task of doing some hats a while ago, and it's kind of been an epic fail. Giving Cambry responsibilities to do certain tasks. I'm a control freak. It's very hard on me, but you took on the task. I didn't even give it to you. You took it on. You're like, leave me alone. Don't talk. Just shut up. Of finding somebody. You reached out to one of your tens of thousands of followers on Instagram that are designers. Yeah. This is awesome. And you had a bunch of people respond. Thank you to everybody that responded for that. And we had a wonderful young lady respond that had some killer, killer designs.
I'm so excited for
and
this.
And we got a rendering. We chose her. We got a rendering. A rough draft rendering of the logo for this podcast. It is epic.
It's going to be so good. I can't wait.
I had a weird idea of kind of what to talk. Me and Cambry talked about it. Cambry took it and was like, that probably isn't the worst idea she'd ever heard. She said it definitely wasn't the best she'd ever heard. But it wasn't the worst. And I had something in my mind that kind of I pictured it was going to look like. And you put it, told the lady, however you explained it. And, like, it was so close to what I pictured in my head. It was
really
spectacular. It was awesome. Right. It was awesome.
So that's exciting.
I'm super excited for the logo. We'll start to have shirts as soon as we get some of that logo. And we're going to put out some of the most epic aviation swag that you can get.
So, literally. On the earth.
Yeah. I think this lady's going to be doing some designs for us for shirts. We're going to have some awesome shirts. We'll have some inappropriate shirts, as Cambry wants to do. We're going to have all kinds of cool stuff. So, I think that's it. I think we've been here.
That'll do it.
Kicked this dead horse.
Beat the horse.
So, I'm going to say we're going to see you on the next one. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.